You know, last week we sharing about young man accepting Christ in his heart and life, and understanding also that we have a tendency to make mistakes, and when we make mistakes, the Lord's there to pick us back up and show us His grace. And last week, as we started in the book of Jonah, I wanted us to something that maybe I didn't point out last week that I really need to point out is that remember that Jonah was a prophet of God. Okay, so that meant that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and then Jonah would take the word of the Lord to other people. And he would share with those people what God was sharing with him. So God had chosen him to be this vessel in which to take his word to the people. So here you have a man who was chosen by God to do this particular task, who is now running from God. I want you to understand this because I think it's important for us to realize that even here is a prophet of God, a man of God who is running from his Lord. He's been chosen, he's got a task, and he is running from God. And so he is making a huge mistake in running from God. And I want you to know this morning that maybe there's something in your life that you've been running from God from. Maybe it's a sin in your life, something that is just nobody else knows about, the Lord knows about it, but it's just something that you keep locked away deep down in that closet that nobody else knows, and you're just running from God. Maybe it's a call, something God's called you to do. Maybe it's to speak to the neighbor about the Lord. Maybe it's going to ministry. Maybe whatever it might be, whatever God might be telling you, maybe you're running from Him this morning. I want you to know, and it's not going to be realized till the end of today, at the end of chapter 2, that when we run from God, God is always there. There's no outrunning God. And we found that out last week as Jonah tried to get on a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea and tried to sail away from God. And he realized in the midst of a storm, after this ship was about to be torn apart, but these sailors found out real quick that you cannot run from the living God who created the heavens and the earth and told the seas in which you're sailing where to stop and where to begin. But it's important for us to understand this morning, whatever you may be running from, that God is there eventually when you stop running. He's there for you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. The Lord tells us to seek His kingdom first many a times. It tells us that we should seek Him out and trust in Him and live for Him each and every day. Jonah got this news that he was supposed to go and preach to these Ninevites, and he knew that they were corrupt, and there was a weird political thing going on at that time as well. And so he didn't want to even go there. He didn't want to be a part of that, so he decided to run from God. God caught up with him, and where we last left our hero was he was being chucked over the edge of a boat into the ocean to be swallowed by a whale or a great fish that the Lord had appointed, okay, to swallow him up. That is where we have left our hero. I'll call him our hero because it's just fun. And so he is now in the belly of a whale. Something that when we begin to think about just boggles our minds. Maybe some of you Pinocchio fans out there are like, no, it's totally feasible. It happened. And maybe, some of you just, you don't understand how it could possibly happen. Understand that God appointed a great fish. God told that fish what to do, where to go, who to swallow, and when to do it. God also created the storms that started to literally tear apart this boat. And so our God can keep a man alive inside a belly of a whale for 3 days. It's possible. It's happened. And if you don't believe that, go to the book of Acts and you'll see how the Holy Spirit literally teleports a man. You can see how the Holy Spirit does all these crazy things because it's the power of God. So don't ever doubt that God can't do this, because God can do a lot of things which you cannot even fathom in our little bitty finite realms. Don't even begin to try to figure out who God is. But trust in Him. Have faith that He is the Almighty God. And live and trust in Him. So Jonah found out real quick that his disobedience led to some consequences. You know, I want to talk about this morning too, you know, that sin that you might be running from. I want to share a little bit about early in my life that I struggled with some sin. And you know, every time that I, you know, God, I felt in my junior year of high school that God had called me into the ministry to preach. And I wasn't sure quite how that looked. But I was still dealing with a sin in my life. And it was something that just kept, nobody else knew about it. It was me and something I thought I could deal with on my own. And you know, I would just go through life for a while thinking that I had this under control. And every Sunday I would go to church and I would stand and I would feel like when everybody else sat down that I was the only one standing. That I was that sore thumb sticking out. That everybody else was sitting down and looking at me because of this sin that I was dealing with in my life. And I want you to know this morning that when we run from God, when we don't deal head on with that sin and that stuff that we're running from, it causes great separation. It causes great loneliness from God. And that's exactly, and it's all going to come together here in chapter 2 when we begin to read Jonah's prayer. Because when Jonah begins to speak about this, or begins to write about the prayer that he said within the belly of the whale, we begin to feel this extreme separation from God. And that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear." So our sins have separated us from God. It's created this great chasm between us and God. And the thing that removes that sin is that relationship with Jesus and asking for forgiveness and repenting of that sin and turning fully and wholly to Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that as we read this prayer of Jonah. There's only 9 verses. Jonah's prayer, 10 verses, I'm sorry. 9 of which are Jonah's prayer within the belly of the whale. But I want you to listen to these first couple verses that Jonah shares. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice." Now I'm going to stop right there. I shared last week that, and I you have to forgive me. When I told you last week that when I'm picturing a Bible story, it runs in video in my head. And last year I shared with you how a whale, last week I shared with you how a whale would come up and swallow Jonah. Well, I have to admit that the video that was playing in my head was VeggieTales. If you're familiar with VeggieTales, Jonah and the Great Fish. In VeggieTales, he gets swallowed by a great whale, and he's just sitting there. But when you read this passage, you realize that Jonah was sinking in this great... They had thrown him over, and he was sinking down in the water. And he's going to be very descriptive here, and if you're afraid of water, this will shake you to the core. But when he says, "I cried out for help from the depth of Sheol, you heard my voice." Sheol is the underworld, okay? Hell, or that word Sheol means to the lowest, it's down there, okay? And so Jonah felt like he was so far separated from God. And yet the Lord, he looked to the Lord in those first 2, and he prayed and he said, "You answered me, you heard my voice all the way down in the very deep, 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 all the way down to Sheol." God heard my words. You hear the distress in Jonah's prayer. You hear the fear in his prayer. He realized in the very moment that he had been running from God, he was trying to get away from God, and his sin had caught up with him, and he realized that he made a huge mistake. And so once again, he reached out. He was so far from God. The description here is all the way down to the underworld, to Sheol. I'm all the way down here. You're way up there, God. And yet I turned to you, and I prayed, and you heard my prayers. Folks, I want you to understand that when you're engulfed in sin, you feel so far away from God. You feel like he's not there. You feel like that he is just like Jonah, that you're way down here and he's way up here. But understand what Jonah says in those first two passages, that he once again turned to God and prayed, and God heard his voice. I go back to Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. Folks, I want you to understand that you're never too far gone for the Lord to save you. Understand that this morning. If you've got a beating heart in your chest, it's never too late. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you've seen. Because I promise you that the Lord's already seen it. It's not new to him. It's not different. He knows it. He understands it. And he believes that he loves you. He cares for you. So don't think that your sin is too great for God. I love what Jonah's description here is. He's so far away, and he prays, and the Lord hears his cry. Verses 3 through 7. He says, "For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple." Jonah describes how it felt to be swallowed up by the ocean. The same feeling that we can feel when we are engulfed in sin. Jonah was feeling this because he was running from God. He was sinning. He was disobeying God. And so he found himself engulfed in the ocean, which scares the bejesus out of me, okay? I've almost drowned twice. I swim like a rock. I'm not afraid of water, but I definitely swim like a rock. And I was about to, one day my friends and I were at Stockton Lake, and they said, hey, both of them were on the swim team in high school, and I said, well, I wasn't, so I'll stay here. This was before I carried a life jacket with me everywhere. And they said, well, we're going to swim out there to the perimeter there, whatever that's called, the boundary line, and we're just going to hang out there. So I said, okay, I'll be here on the shore. And so I sat there on the shore, realized I'm all by myself. I don't want to be by myself. I want to be out there with my friends. So I'm just going to give it a go. So I began to swim. I said, hey, guys, I'm going to swim out to you. I said, but if I begin to struggle, I'm just going to wave my hand and you can come help me. We'll get out there. They said, okay, no problem. I said, all right. So I began to do my doggy paddle. And I said, hey, this is all good. I'm making my way. I got out to about the middle. My arms began to get tired. I started to get out of breath. I thought, I ain't going to make it. So I waved my hands. And they turned around and they waved back. And I went under the water, and I came back up, and I waved again a little more frantically. And then they realized, hey, Tommy's not going to make it. They need to go get me. And they came back, and they got me, and they said, what were you going to do if you sank? And I said, well, my plan was to sink to the bottom and walk back in. So I understand when Jonah talks about the waters engulfing him and that he felt like the water had encompassed him to the point of death. I've been there. I felt that. I know what this is like, and maybe you have too. But that is, folks, that is what sin does in our life. It tries to choke us out and cut us off. And we need to remember that in that moment and in that time, we need to reach out to the Lord. We need to look back towards his holy temple and pray and ask God for help and begin to move through all of the junk that keeps us pushed away from him. The Lord appointed a fish to swallow up Jonah, to save him out of this. Again, I read to you Isaiah 59, 1 through 2, because I think it's a great passage. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. but to understand that your iniquities have made separation between you and God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Understand that our sin separates us from God, and we can feel very much away from Him. But we must repent. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He sent Jesus to die so He paid the price for our sins, so that we could be in a right relationship with God, and that we could draw up, as the writer of Hebrews talks about, that we could draw up close to God, that we can draw right up next to Him. No longer is the curtain separating us from God, but we can draw right close and tight up to Jesus, up to God, and receive all the things that He has for us. We must remember that no matter what we are going through, God is there, and He sent Jesus there to pay the price for that sin so that we can draw up close. Psalms 103, 8 through 13 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." Hallelujah. We must understand that God is in control. God created the heavens. God created the earth. He created all these things that we enjoy here on this place. And understand that He is well in control of those things. This world may look chaotic. This may just look like it's coming towards the end time. But you must understand in these moments and in these times that you serve a God who is in control, who is not surprised by all the new things that it seems like the world is cooking up. Because God understands, God knows, and He is in control. And so we must draw close to Him in this time. We must look back towards His holy temple. We must trust that He is in control and follow Him in these days. Jonah understood that. Jonah contemplated that as he was sitting in the belly of the whale, and he was praying to God. Jonah had a come to Jesus moment. He realized that what he was trying to do was folly. He realized that he was trying to outrun the Almighty God who had created the heavens and the earth. And he realized that it was a mistake. He says in verses 8 and 9, after he goes through 3 through 7 and talks about all the things that are happening, and he felt like he was fainting away, he says in verse 7, he says, "While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple." Verse 8 and 9, "Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." Understand, in those three verses, you see Jonah repent of his sins, turn back to God. He offers a sacrifice to God. He says, listen, those that worship those idols, it's all in vain. They do it and nothing, those vain idols that those people worship, they can't save me from the depths of the sea. They can't bring me back up from the depths of Sheol. They can't do that. It's all in vain. But in faithfulness, I will turn to you, O Lord, and I will trust in you. And he makes that sacrifice, and he trusts in the Lord, and he realized that his salvation, his safety, came from a whale that God appointed, and God said, go and swallow him up, and that whale swallowed him up, and because of the power of God, God kept him alive in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and then Jonah repents of his sin, realizes that he's been running from God, and begins to get on fire for the Lord again, and just in that moment in time that Jonah is saying, you know what, Lord, you're right, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to trust in you, verse 10 says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. God not only commands whales to swallow a human, He commands them to vomit him up as well. That is the power of God. Jonah made it clear that those who place their trust in idols is worthless because those idols do not hold a candle to God. Jonah recognized, this is important, Jonah recognized that he deserved death not deliverance. He then knew, as we do, that no one deserves deliverance. It is an act of mercy by a gracious God. Do you understand that? We don't deserve the deliverance that we get, that we receive. But because of the mercy from a gracious God, we are able to draw up close and we are able to receive that salvation. It's not from a whale, it's from Jesus. We receive that salvation from Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 reminds us we have all sinned. We have missed the mark. 3:23 says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So folks, understand this. You may not be a prophet running from God this morning, but maybe you're just a saint who has been running from God. Maybe he has called you to do something. Maybe he's called you into a deeper walk, into a deeper relationship with him. But you said, no, Lord, I've got more to do over here, but then I'll get to you. Whatever God might be calling you to this morning, whatever you might be running from this morning, I beg you to stop. Turn and focus on the Lord and run back into his arms. Because he's not going to send a whale to swallow you up. But one day, death will come. Because it comes for us all. And understand that the whale that was provided for Jonah in that moment in time is Jesus provided for us. Jesus is there right now to take all, to pay that. He's already paid the price for your sin. You simply must turn to him and trust in him. But you have an opportunity to do that. You have the time to do that right now. In this place, in this hour. To turn to him and to focus on him. But if you choose not to trust in him and you choose to just bet it all and just keep going the way you're going, I promise you one thing. That one day, death will come. And if we have not gotten right with the Lord before that day, it's hell. And I hear me when I say this. I'm not preaching to scare. I'm not preaching to fright you into having a relationship with Jesus. I want you just to understand, with all the chips on the table, to understand that Jesus is king. And that Jesus is the only way out of this life into heaven. There is no other way. And so I want to go back to what Jonah was saying, that those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. Folks, I want you to understand what that passage means. When we put our faith in other things that are not of God, that are vain idols that we give all of our time and all of our efforts to, it's worthlessness. We're wasting, as Jonah says, our faithfulness. Instead, we must focus on Jesus and have faith in him and trust in him and follow him to the rest of our days, for the rest of our days. So I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I just want you to understand what sin can do in your life. Sin can clog our memory, can clog our thinking process and trusting in the Lord. It can tell us you're fine, you're okay. One of my most favorite movies, one of my many favorite movies is, and a line from this movie is, and I think I've shared this with you before, in God's Not Dead, there's a little old lady who has Alzheimer's, and her son has everything. And she has been faithful for her entire life. And she is sitting there with him, this rich guy who has everything, who doesn't need for anything. And he's sitting there, and it's a dark scene, and she is having one of her moments where she's not there. And he's sitting there, and he's talking to her, and he goes, how in the world can you serve a God who would leave you like this? Leave you in a cloud where you have no idea who you are, who I am, or where you're at. And yet you serve this God your entire life. But look at me. I don't serve that God, and I've got everything. I don't need for nothing. And in a moment of clarity, I love this, in a moment of clarity, she turns and she looks right at him. And she says, sin is like a jail cell. The door is open and you can come and go as you please. But one day that door's going to close, and you won't be able to get out. And then she turns and she goes back into this cloud that she was in. And it was a warning to him that that Satan helps us to feel okay. You're all right. You're not as bad as so-and-so. It's not that bad. Satan deceives to draw you away. And the more and more he drags you away, the harder and harder it becomes to hear God's voice, because you're filling your life with other things. You're not thinking about the Lord. You're not spending time with Him. You're not praying with Him. And so He never leaves us, but it's harder and harder for us to hear His voice. We must turn and realize whatever that sin is that is dragging us away from God, we need to repent of that and turn to Jesus. Well, let me reverse that. Turn to Jesus and then repent. Because it's because of Jesus that causes that repentance in our life. Folks, don't run from your sin. Instead, experience a life full of faith, a life that is just a blessing each and every day, because we get up and we know that whether or not we wake up the next day or that we don't, that we're going to be in the presence of our Lord. That is living a life of faithfulness and knowing that God is in control, that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what happens to us, that if we die, that we are going to be in the presence of our Lord in heaven. That is the promise that we look forward to. That is the hope that believers have in the future. If you don't have that, you have no hope. So my prayer this morning is that if you're running from God and you're running from that sin and you're engulfed in that sin, that and you're just running from the Lord this morning, that you would turn, you would repent, and you would begin to follow the Lord and trust in Him and understand that He has a great plan for you this morning. I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come and play. And what I want you to do is just close your eyes and begin to ask the Lord what it is. Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from a relationship with You? What anything in my life that's keeping me from following You this morning? And if there is, I beg that you would leave it at the foot of the cross. That you would give it to God and begin to focus on Him and trust in Him. And like Jonah did, turn to Him so that the Lord could vomit you back up and set you back on your way. That's my prayer this morning. So as the band comes, and I pray, begin to do some business with God. Father, we thank You for the many blessings You give us this morning. Lord, we thank You for Jonah's prayer here, Father, that helps us to understand, Lord, that even though we have run from You, Father, that we have just put other things before You, Father, that we can, in fact, turn back to You, Lord, and trust in You and have a relationship with You, Father. Lord, help us to live each and every day for You, Father. To know that there are others out there who are running in the same sin that we are, Lord, that we need to show them, Father, that it's because of Your grace and Your mercy that we have been set free from that sin. And Lord, that we would show them who You are by the way that we live our lives. Father, we thank You so much for the many blessings You give us. We thank You for the time we have here to open Your word and to hear truth preached, Father. Lord, I pray that as we go out of this place today, Lord, that we would live for You and trust in You each and every day. Father, all those that we come in contact with, all those that we affect, Father, Lord, that we would share with them what You have done in our life. Our testimony is the most powerful thing, Father. And so help us to remember that is the most powerful thing we have in our life, to share the gospel with others, which is what You've done in our life. Father, I pray that You move now. Lord, be with us as we sing this song. Lord, begin to move in hearts and convict in hearts, Father. Lord, we just ask that You be here in this moment, this time. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. I'll be here in the front if you'd like to pray.